The difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, Seattle.
And the time is 10 p.m.
CBS News. It was a thriller in Manila, and if Muhammad Ali is serious about retiring after this one, he'll do so as the champ. I'm Jerry Lande, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The heavyweight fight stretched through 14 thrilling rounds, Ali retaining his title on a technical knockout. For his troubles and valiant efforts, Joe Frazier had a loser's purse, a closed left eye, and a swollen face to show. Ali was in serious trouble once in the sixth round when Frazier tied him to the ropes, but Ali shuffled and danced his way out of trouble. The bout going to Ali in the 14th on a TKO. More in a minute.
I'm a bartender. I have been for almost 16 years now, and I've seen it all. But something just happened that I'll never get used to. I just put a guy in a cab because he was too drunk to drive. Now, I don't mind. But why did I have to do that when his best friend is sitting right here? His best friend. I'm cutting your friend off, I said. Drive him home, I said. He said, come on, a few beers, coffee will straighten him out. Well, I straightened him out. Too much beer or wine can get you just as drunk as most mixed drinks. And coffee, well, it's better than taking another drink, but it's not going to sober you up. So now he knows. So the next time his good buddy gets a load on, maybe I won't be there. Then we'll find out just how good a friend he is.
There are no more excuses. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. Find out how else you can help. Write Drunk Driver, Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland. A public service message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation.
President Ford flies on to Omaha later Wednesday after telling a Republican audience in Chicago he intends to keep traveling, but with caution. Stringent security marked the Chicago visit. The president's direct contact with crowds was restricted. Nonetheless, Mr. Ford vows to have visited all 50 states by the end of the year. There's also no change in earlier plans to ride in a 2-mile parade in Elkins, West Virginia, Saturday. Syria seems to be ruling out peace talks with Israel, at least for the time being. The Syrian foreign minister, Abdel Halim Khaddam, met with Secretary Kissinger at the UN for more than 2 hours Tuesday. Then, Khaddam telling newsmen the Israeli-Egyptian accords have closed all the doors. Intra-Arab strains showed during the General Assembly debate, Khaddam denouncing the accords as a fraud. The Egyptian ambassador angrily replying, Khaddam is not the true voice of Syria. The Congress has been agitating for government action against the Arab boycott of American firms that do business in Israel. Secretary of Commerce Rogers Morton apparently intends to resort to jawboning, both to reduce the effectiveness of the Arab blacklist and to lift himself off a congressional hot seat. Morton reportedly disclosed his intentions in a Tuesday meeting with Israeli Minister of Commerce and Industry, Chaim Bar-Lev. Correspondent Leslie Stahl has the story in Washington.
Secretary Morton has offered to use his personal influence with American businessmen to try and break the back of the Arab boycott of Israel. That information comes from spokesmen of both the Commerce Department and the Israeli embassy. According to them, Morton told the Israeli minister that if Israel can supply Morton with the names of American companies who are planning to or who do in fact comply with the boycott, then he, Morton, will personally telephone the chairman of the board of that company and try to talk him into fighting the Arab demands. According to one aide, Bar-Lev indicated that the boycott has become more than just an irritant in Israel. Morton's action is viewed as an attempt to appease a congressional subcommittee, which is considering calling Morton in contempt for failing to answer a subpoena for documents about the Arab boycott. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, Washington.
5 days before President John Kennedy was assassinated, a former FBI code clerk says Bureau headquarters warned its southern offices of a possible plot to kill Mr. Kennedy in Dallas. The former Bureau employee, William Walter, telling CBS News the threat was ascribed to a militant revolutionary group. Walter suggesting that after the assassination, the Bureau covered up the existence of the advance warning, not because of a conspiracy, but because of potential embarrassment. Walter told CBS News he continues to believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. Now this.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if you could take a roast out of the freezer, put it in an oven, and have it defrost and cook, and call you when dinner's ready? Well, the revolutionary Amana Touchmatic Radar Range microwave oven can do that and more. That's right. Amana has made the greatest cooking discovery since fire even greater. Because the Amana Touchmatic radar range makes microwave cooking simple as 1, 2, 3. Now you can take food from the freezer to the table just by touching a few numbers on the control panel. So when you push start, the computer inside the Amana Touchmatic radar range takes over. It remembers and carries out your instructions with split-second accuracy. And when cooking's done, the timer even remembers and displays the correct time of day in lights. To really appreciate what the Amana Touchmatic radar range can do for you, you really have to see it in action. Plan now to stop by your Amana retailer this week just to see a demonstration of this fabulous way to cook. It's really something.
The House of Representatives has voted to end a 72-year-old program of civilian rifle training by the U.S. Army. The House did so by slicing funds for the program from the Defense Appropriations Bill. Representative Sidney Yates of Illinois, who led the floor fight, denouncing the program as a boondoggle for the National Rifle Association. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook, cloudy and much cooler Thursday, but continued sunny and warm tomorrow. The highs in the upper 70s tomorrow, cooling to the upper 60s Thursday, and lows in the low 50s. Less than 10% chance of rain. It's currently 63 degrees. And further word on the weather, the city of Seattle has recorded its first rainless September since weather recording began in the city in 1878. The driest previous September was in 1890, when 1/100th of an inch was measured by pioneers who reestablished the city of Seattle weather station 1 year after the Great Seattle Fire. Today's high of 80 degrees at SeaTac at 5 p.m. also set a record for the last day of September, surpassing the 76 degrees registered September 30th, 1957. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. The time now is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Outside the Straits of Gibraltar, to the northwest of Cadiz, lie some of Spain's most beautiful beaches, protected by island sandbars. And to the south of Cadiz, the towering mountains begin to rise, on one of which, Monte Alegre, is the hacienda which holds the heart of this story. Approaching it by car at this moment are Chad Reynolds and Elizabeth Monroe.
But you haven't told me about the Señora Escobar.
La Doña? To give her a full title? Oh, no. She's not to be mentioned.
Why not?
Because she is dead. You remember that little loggia I showed you cut into the mountain?
The wedding present.
Uh-huh. It turned out to be her tombstone also.
Our mystery drama, The Devil's Leap, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say bud, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Let's say this beer, Budweiser, is the king of beers.
When you say Bud, you've said the word that means you like to do it all. When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers.
Budweiser's always been the king of beers, and always will be, for one simple reason. It's quality taste. And that speaks for itself. Hear it talking?
When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. How many yards are in a mile? How big is an acre? What's the difference between troy and avoirdupois weight? How big is a rod and what is a peck? You're not sure? Well, most people share your confusion. But it won't be long before all these units of measure become only a memory, because soon the United States is going metric. You know, the metric system already is used more than most people realize. Cigarettes are advertised as 100 millimeters long. Many people have 35 millimeter cameras. And many canned and packaged goods list weight in both ounces and grams or liters. There'll be plenty of time to get used to the new system. In the meantime, for example, a 12-inch ruler will also show 34 millimeters. And for more information on the metric system, write Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C., 20234. A tip from your Better Business Bureau.
All men love beauty in a woman. America has worshipped a long line of beauty queens, sex symbols, love goddesses. And today, as of this moment, one of the, perhaps the best loved, is Elizabeth Monroe. Sitting with her agent Mark Burns, a longtime friend, at a table at Madrid's brightest, newest, and most expensive nightclub, La Ronda.
What's the matter, Liz?
What?
You're not eating.
Oh, no, I, Oh, stop worrying about me. I'm washed out.
Hey, you shouldn't have let me book you into this place.
Oh, don't be silly. I was here for retakes on the picture, and I had this... Well, I wanted to sing again, Mark. I mean, in front of people.
Listen, you could go home, take the Hollywood Bowl, and fill it and get your heart's desire. A little wine?
All right. No, I didn't mean that. I meant... Oh,
hey, you spilled it. I'm sorry.
No, I'm the one that's sorry.
Well, why did you start so and turn away like that?
I just didn't want that boy crossing the dance floor to see me.
You mean Joe College, whatever he is?
I mean Don Pedro Escobar de Villarmo.
Oh, okay. So outside of his name, what's his particular problem?
It's just that he hates me.
He's male and he hates you?
Enough to kill me. And with reason. When I think of what I once had to do to that boy, I... Mark, I can't stay here. Come on. I'll have to go back to my dressing room.
Okay, Liz, I'll bring the dinner back here. Why the sudden flight?
I told you, Mark. That boy.
Are you really afraid of him? Maybe I better...
No, not physically. It isn't like that. If he's going to be in the audience tonight, I don't want to sing.
Well, it's not in the contract, Liz. Two shows a night, dinner and supper at a queen's stipend. Not enough for you, but it's what you insisted on signing. You should be taking a rest between pictures. Who needs this?
I told you. I had an unstoppable yen to go back to my beginnings, to be with people. Something that lives and breathes and reacts so that you can feel it. It began a long time before you found me. I couldn't get anywhere at home, but here in Europe, they liked me as a singer. And it was here, in Spain, in Cadiz, that I had my first really big success. What was I then? Well, not all that young, really. I was 27, I guess. Have you ever been in Cadiz, Mark, in the height of summer? The water is a dancing fire, sparkling a thousand colors under that burnished sun. The skies are high and blue and cloudless, and the faces of the people shine with love and laughter. One night at dusk, one of my most insistent suitors a party boy from the American jet set with too much money and too little else, was driving me to a weekend party at the Hacienda Monte Alegre, which is the home of Don Emilio Escobar de Villarmo. Oh, Chad, for heaven's sake, take it easy on the curves.
Have no fear, lady. I wouldn't risk a hair on that blonde and lovely head.
Well, I'm just a hard-working nightclub singer who's looking for a restful weekend.
I don't promise you rest at Monte Alegre. It's apt to be more fiesta. I hope.
Well, it'll be a change of scene anyway. Are we getting near it?
Yep, very soon now, around this next bend. Hey, look up there at the mountain as we go across the bridge over the gorge.
Hmm?
You see that little loggio up there, like an eagle's nest?
Yes. Oh, it looks like it's cut right out of the mountain.
It was, by Don Emilio. A wedding present for his wife. Oh, there's the most magnificent view from there. Cadiz to the north, Gibraltar to the south, and the whole Atlantic beyond the sandbars, stretching into infinity.
Ah, what a lovely wedding present.
Yeah, only backfired. Turned out to be a pretty deadly one.
Well, what do you mean?
Oh, let's drop it, Liz.
What do I call my host?
Well, if you want to be very formal, El Señor Escobar. More intimately, informally, Don Emilio.
Well, which do you suggest?
It's up to you. You're going to find him unbending, remote, and very much in the tradition of the Spanish grande.
And the rest of his household?
One son. His only son, Don Pedro. His nickname is Perico. He just came back from a year as an exchange student at Princeton. That's how I met the family, through my kid brother knowing Perico. He's a strange guy. He's shy and intelligent, but he... Well, just let's leave it. He's strange.
How old is he?
About 17, I guess. He's kind of young in a lot of ways for his age.
17? I'm surprised. He's a very young son for Don Emilio, because he's not that young.
Oh, he seems older than he is. He's had quite a bit of sadness in his life. But come on, Liz, I don't want to depress you.
You haven't told me about Senora Escobar.
Ah, La Doña. Well, she's not to be mentioned.
Oh, why not?
Because she's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was it recently?
No, five years or so ago. Look, you remember that little loggia I told you about?
The wedding present?
Well, yeah. It turned out to be her tombstone also.
What?
The road down to it is closed up. No one goes there anymore. The natives think it's haunted. They call it El Salto de Diablo.
That means the devil's leap.
That's right. One night, 5 or 6 years ago, part of the balustrade gave way, and Don Emilio's wife fell 1,000 feet down the mountain from there to her death.
Well, you're certainly making this weekend sound less and less attractive.
Well, to compensate, I guess, Don Emilio has surrounded himself ever since his wife's death with color and gaiety and young people. That's why he asked me to bring you. You'll see.
Oh, look, look, look. Oh, how gorgeous that is. I don't know how to describe it.
The famous carnations of Monte Alegre.
Oh.
Don Emilio's hobby. I suppose there isn't a color or variety he doesn't grow. They were her favorite flower. They say that when she was found, she had a blood-red one clasped in one hand.
And that was how I first came to the Hacienda Monte Alegre, the happy mountain. And my host, Don Emilio, I found to be gracious and formal, less cold than Chad had led me to believe. And while he stood aloof from the merriment, it was not he who brought the chill with the coming of dusk, as if the ghosts of long-gone days still lurked in the shadowed halls. No, the most tragic ghost of all was the pale, intense young man with the great liquid brown eyes who hovered on the edge of the gaiety as though haunted and unbearably sad. Hello, Don Pedro.
Señorita.
We haven't had much of a chance to talk since we met.
I am not a very good talker. I saw you talking to my father.
Yes, naturally. He's my host.
Yes, but...
But what, Don Pedro?
Please, it is formal. You will call me Perico, perhaps. Please, Señorita Monroe.
All right. That's a very nice name. And I am Elizabeth.
Elizabetta.
My friends call me Liz.
I want to be your friend. Would you want to promenade in the garden before the light goes?
Oh, I'd love it. Thank you. So much smoke in here and noise, and those are two things I want to get away from.
Come with me, Senor. Liz. I must talk with you.
Even in this fading light, they are still so beautiful.
Los claveles.
I beg your pardon?
Carnations. They were my mother's favorite flower. Would you like to see where she died, Señorita Liz?
Why, I
want to show you. Because I think you should leave here tonight, now. If I asked you to, would you?
Why, Perico, I can't. I'm a guest.
You will come with me, so you will understand why you must live here.
I went with him, almost mesmerized. I don't know why. I should have thought of danger with this strange, intense, tightly wound boy. It's like the mainspring of a watch ready to snap, like an explosion waiting to occur. But there was something so appealing about him. So I followed him. Beyond the carnations to a gap between the rocks, now boarded up by a heavy oaken door. But he veered to the left of it. And then after a moment, he moved aside a heavy rock that swung on a pivot. And we went through and down some steps in front of us until we emerged onto a flat stage that hung almost suspended in space, with a summer house built against the mountain and then a balustrade guarding the drop below. And with a start in the twilight, I realized that I was on the Devil's Leap, the spot Chad had shown me from the road below. Why did you bring me here, Perico?
Because I had to warn you. There is death here, Liz. My father desires you. I could see it in his eyes.
Don Emilio? Oh, really? You...
I do not joke. I know my father. He kills everything he loves. And I do not want you to die as my mother died. Come here to the balustrade, and I will show you.
In the half-glow of twilight, there is something strange and terrifying about this tortured young man. What wild fancy has opened up his shyness and made him pick on Liz to bring to this deadly spot? I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
The book everyone has been waiting for is here. All Things Bright and Beautiful, the most heartwarming reading experience of the year. James Herriot continues the story of his days as an English country veterinarian and the deep-rooted love and dedication he feels for all living things. Read All Things Bright and Beautiful by James Herriot, best-selling sequel to All Creatures Great and Small. It will capture your heart. A Bantam book, wherever paperbacks are sold.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
George Washington remarked during the Constitutional Convention, "Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The event is in the hands of God."
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Your Lung Association takes great pride in preventing the half a dirty dozen.
They call me tuberculosis. TB for short, but not for long, right? Wrong.
Yeah, I'm chronic bronchitis. That's my trademark. Don't dismiss it lightly, unless you'd like to meet my friend here.
Emphysema, that's me. The kind of guy who'd steal your last breath. Occasionally, I'm mistaken for...
asthma. I'm strictly impartial. I don't care whose breath I rob. I even steal from kids.
I'm a cigarette. Now, I may be little, but I'm dangerous. After all, you know what they say about small packages.
Air pollution, alias the gray ghost. I can do more damage at one time than all these guys put together just by hanging around.
To join in the fight against breath robbers, see your doctor at the first sign of shortness of breath. Don't smoke and try to avoid polluted air. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
Instinctively, Liz clings to the solid safety of the loggia, backed by the mountain. Invitingly outlined by the last reflected glare of the sun, which has just set, Perico stands by the low balustrade, a few scant inches from a plunge of over 1,000 feet.
You are in danger here.
From your father? Oh, I can't believe that.
Can you believe that 5 years ago, by the time I was 12, my mother lay down there, 1,100, 1,200 feet down, crushed and broken on the rocks.
Yes, I've heard that she had an accident, that the balustrade gave way.
It was no accident. My father threw her over because he had tired of her. The balustrade was broken later to make it seem like an accident.
Perico. Oh, how can you think such things about your father? You, of all people, should be able to see how your mother's death very nearly destroyed him.
Not her death. His guilt.
Well, how can I argue with you? But I am sorry for you.
Sorry for me? Why?
To live with such hate locked up inside you. Oh, look, Perico. Look down at those magnificent beaches. They're the best in all of Spain. And there are fiestas, festivals, and bullfights. And even this week, a carnival.
Oh, yes, the carnival.
Yes, and this year bigger than ever. With real sideshows and a carousel and lots of games. And a Ferris wheel.
Yes, a Ferris wheel. I've never been up in one. Could we go together? Caramba, how I would like that. Will you go with me, senorita?
Liz.
Yes, Liz. Would you?
Oh, we could have lots of excitement and fun, huh, Perico?
Magnifico. Will you let me take you with me?
I think that would be just magnifico.
And exactly what is everybody singing magnifico about?
Don Emilio.
Perico, you know who I am.
Si, senor.
Then do me the courtesy of addressing me correctly.
Oh, yes, me. Padre.
What are you doing here? You know this place is forbidden.
How did you know I was here?
It's beside the point. You have not answered my question.
Why do you have to spoil everything? Always.
You forget yourself in front of a guest. Leave us.
It's all right, Liz. You'll be safe. I know you're here.
Perico, what do you... I must apologize for my son. I hope you will forgive him, Senorita Monroe.
But there's nothing to forgive. I found him charming until...
Until I appeared, eh? Es por nada. It was not difficult to know that you were missing, and Perico is always on my mind. I had a sudden uneasiness. When I saw the rock was out of place, I thought I might find you here.
Well, I should be the one who apologizes, really. But Perico was so anxious to bring me here that I didn't want to deny him.
I don't know why Perico brought you here or what he has been telling you.
Well, he's been telling me that he has never been to a carnival and that he would like to escort me to the one in Cadiz.
Senorita, I would not want to impose on my guests.
Well, I've already accepted, subject, of course, to your approval.
What can I say? I'm only sorry that I am not the one to be your escort. Ah, the wind is rising. Yes, not a good place to be. You'll forgive me as a bad host, but I cannot stand this place, senorita. El Salto de Diablo, well named.
Oh.
Senorita, what is it?
Well, that lovely red carnation. You've crushed it in your hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was meant for you. We will find you another on the way back.
I lay awake for a long time that night. I wondered about that long ago accident or suicide or... Yes, I wondered, too, if some guilty secret had laid its pall over this uneasy house. But washing all that out of my mind was a wave of pity for two lonely people, a proud, unbending older man, and a shy, hurt boy whose world had been shattered before he'd even had time to build it. Both of them were haunted by a tragedy that should have brought them closer together, but which instead had driven them apart.
Look, Liz. Look. Here is a man who is eating fire.
How can it not hurt?
It doesn't seem to.
But the torch is burning the paper. See? Ay-ya. Look here. Donna Colossal, a woman enormously fat. Come, Liz, come.
It was hard to recognize this excited, well, boy. But that's what he was like. To imagine him as he was now, full of bubbling good spirits, as being the same person as the pale, retiring, tortured Perico of Monte Alegre. And as I followed him from booth to booth at the carnival, I found that I was feeling as young and as full of life and laughter as he.
Now come, we must ride the Ferris wheel.
We entered our little cage at the bottom of the huge wheel, and seconds later we were whirling upwards. And suddenly Perico's hand was grasping mine, his eyes darting about the carnival below, all eager and pleased. And then just as suddenly as we stopped at the crest, his grip was agonizingly strong. What is it, Perico?
I am afraid.
Why, there's nothing to be afraid of.
It is like El Salto del Diablo, so high above.
Oh, no, forget about that.
You don't understand. It is when I am on heights, I have this. I want to throw myself over or push.
No, you're not going to fall. Not while I'm with you.
If only you could always be with me, Liz. But then nobody. I'm sorry.
You're sorry for what?
And yet...
Oh. There you are, you see? Now there's nothing to worry about. Here we go, down again. Everything is all right. But everything was not all right. A shadow had passed across the bright day. And something twisted in this boy sprang back like a spring released to its original form. And that challenged me. I promised myself that before I left Cadiz, I would try to banish that shadow. Yeah. In the next 2 weeks, I saw a lot of Perico. We swam together from the golden beaches. We laughed and danced at fiestas. We sat entranced at the bullring. I stayed too at Monte Alegre a great deal, playing chess in the evening with Don Emilio, or dining at the great carved oak table while he talked of poetry, or the theater, or the past glories of Spain. But my time with father and son was mostly divided. I could not bring them together. And at the last, at the end of my singing engagement, I had to leave Monte Alegre. Suddenly, without warning, and forever. We had gone, Perico and I, that last day on a picnic far from the hacienda. It was a drowsy, lazy summer's day. And after the picnic lunch, we lay back, dozing in the shade of an orange grove.
Que dia maravilloso. I could die this moment.
Thank you for the compliment.
I mean, because I am so happy.
I am too. What a pity it has to end.
To end?
Oh, yes, Perico. I can't be on vacation forever. I've got to leave and get back to work.
You cannot leave me. What shall I do?
Well, you go to college, find new friends.
I do not want new friends.
Well, for your father's sake.
Don't mention his name. I hate my father.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
He killed my mother.
No, I don't think that's true either.
You talk to my father. Have you asked him?
No. It's as hard to talk to him sometimes as it is to you.
To me?
Yes, to you. Even though you say we are friends.
Friends? You are not my friend, you are...
I am what?
Oh, tu eres mi vida. I adore you with all my heart. Ti amo.
No, not me, Perico. Oh, no. Oh, what a fool I've been. I should have known.
Why?
Because I am so much older. No, when I've been with you, I've been thinking of you as a...
Don't say it. It is my fault. Now it's all ruined. Oh, I never meant to tell you. It's hopeless.
Perico.
Completely hopeless.
Perico, come here.
Don't touch me.
Of course I'll touch you. Come here now. There. Oh, here in my arms. Listen to me. There's nothing so terrible about love, Perico.
Would you wait for me?
That's up to you. You have so many things to finish first. There's college. And where you want to go with your life. You have a world to conquer.
If I could, I would lay it at your feet.
I think that you could. But first, conquer it. And yourself.
Then it is not hopeless.
Nothing is ever hopeless, Perico. Nothing in this whole wide world. Why did you bring me down here, Don Emilio?
I don't quite know. Except it is a place where we can be completely alone. And this is your last night in Andalusia.
At least it's before twilight. And the view is indescribably lovely.
As you are. I can tell you one reason I brought you here. I have a story to tell you before I ask you to marry me.
To marry you? But I
know. It is strange. I never thought love could come to me again. But it has.
Well, if for no other reason, for Perico's sake, I can't marry you. He's in love with me, too.
Love? A boy? A child?
Oh, no, no. A young man. Your child has grown up very fast, Don Emilio.
Why must something always stand between me and the one I love? This wretched place, the home of the devil himself. Even the moon rises in blood upon it. Well, then, once again, let it rise and sink on it.
With the same sudden violence as he had earlier crushed a blood-red carnation in his hand, Don Emilio moves across the terrace towards Elizabeth Monroe, and she, in sudden and unanticipated terror, braces her back against the balustrade that is the only protection between her and the sheer drop below. I shall return shortly with Act Three.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
In the free spirit department, Buick's midsize 1976 Century has a lot going for it. Efficient size, lots of room, neat things like that. But Century offers bonuses. It's a Buick, remember, which says one heck of a lot about how nicely it takes care of you. And Century does something for the sake of efficiency that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Century, the spirit will move you.
Free spirit, Buick on the wings of the wind. How it's gonna be, your spirit's free.
Two hundred years has given us something deep inside. Has given Marines Marine Corps pride. Pride in ourselves, pride in the Corps, and pride in all the Marines.
200 years ago, every Marine was needed full-time. Today, you can be a Marine and serve part-time in a good job at good pay in the Marine Corps Reserve. After basic training, it's 2 days a month near your home and 2 weeks away in the summer. The Marine Corps Reserve. The extra money will come in handy now. The pride will stay with you all your life. Go for pride. See a Marine recruiter.
200 years. 200.
As Don Emilio moves fixedly toward where she stands at the balustrade of the terrace, 1,000 feet above the jagged rocks below, Liz's terror is only momentary. Because almost simultaneously, she sees that the Don's eyes are not fixed on her, but on the void beyond her. And instinctively, she flings herself back against him, dragging him away from the awesome drop.
No! No, Don Emilio, no. No, that's not the answer. That's never the answer.
Let me go!
And repeat your wife's mistake.
My wife's mistake?
Yes.
What do you know about my wife?
Nothing. Only it's obvious that between you and Perico, who should know best, neither one of you thinks that her death was an accident.
How could you know that?
I don't know that. It's only my guess. Perico thinks you pushed her to her death, and I think that you believe that Perico was the one who caused it.
Would you like to know the truth?
If it will help you and Perico.
It would be a relief to tell it to someone, and perhaps just once to be believed. She was very beautiful, Dolores. Almost as lovely as you. I loved her. How can one measure? I would have gladly died for her. And even though I was older, I thought she loved me. Then came a summer like this, 5 years ago when Perico was 12. We had gone that day to a corrida, and the matador was insolent, slim, young, careless. But Dios, he was magnificent in the ring.
And your wife, Dolores, fell in love with him.
All that summer, he was to fight in Andalusia, Cadiz, Granada, Sevilla. Sometimes she followed him. And when she didn't, they met by night. Here, in this loggia, in the shadow of my own roof.
And all this time, you stood by and said nothing.
She would not hear me. I kept thinking it would end. She would see this empty, strutting pigeon for what he was and come back to me. Till at last, I knew I must end it.
You? You don't mean that Perico is right?
No. I bought this strutting peacock of a matador off, as I should have in the beginning. He walked out without a backward look.
And your wife?
One night, Dolores stole from the house down here to the Devil's Platform. I thought perhaps that... I don't know what was in my mind. I stumbled down here blindly, half expecting to find them together again. And on the way, I have a half memory of looking back and seeing Perico running in the shadows somewhere. When I got here, I don't know what I might have done if I had found them. Instead, I found...
Don Emilio, you'd better finish it now that you started.
Cleanse my soul? I found myself alone under a blood-red moon. Till I looked over the parapet. And there, far below, she lay broken and bloodied as the moon and the carnation we found in her hand.
An accident. I mean, the balustrade was broken, wasn't it?
That had happened in the rain a day or so before.
So it was what I finally guessed. A suicide.
I might have learned to live with that. But not...
Not what? Oh, you can't think that Perico could possibly have...
We both loved her so. Anything is possible. The curse of our heritage is too much pride.
Too much pride. You think that Perico might somehow have found out about his mother, and that he...
I cannot allow myself to think such a thing. And to the best of my knowledge, he has never known, and does not to this day. Well, now, what is there left to be said? I had hoped, watching you and Perico together, and from all the times we have been together, that somehow what has been lost could be found again. I had dared to hope that you would marry me.
To bring you and Perico together?
I am not that totally unselfish or incapable of love. No. First, for yourself. Then the other. But for you to marry Perico...
Marry him? No. I'm much too old for your son. As much as I love him.
You have all his trust and confidence. And his heart.
I know. I blame myself for that.
Señorita, forget the Escobar family. There is nothing you can do for us.
Well, maybe I can. If I can face being cruel enough.
Okay.
First love is full of pain. And it is sometimes better to be cruel in order to be kind. I think perhaps what this situation needs is a new villain. Yes, that's the best thing I can do.
What are you going to do, Senorita?
I'm going to help you try to find your son. Yes, who is it?
Perico.
Oh, Perico. All right, come on in.
Buenos dias, Liz. Isn't it a beautiful day? Everybody seems to be smiling. What are you doing?
Well, as you can see, I am packing.
To leave?
Yes, to leave.
But yesterday, you were not planning to leave. Why now?
Oh, don't you know about women, Perico? They're just like the weather. They're subject to change without notice.
There is a man. The Chad. Or someone. You are in love with another man.
Oh, don't be silly, Perico.
Don't treat me like a child.
Well, then don't act like one.
But yesterday you said... I mean, I thought you were going to wait. I thought you loved me.
Yesterday was another day. That was sweet and amusing and it suited my fancy. But today, I am going away. Now, will you please lift that bag off the bed for me?
Yes, of course. But I cannot understand you.
Well, then don't try. And I'm not going to apologize. Yes, I led you on. Only to find that you are not ready for love. Just as I did with your father.
My father?
Oh, yes. Did you know he asked me to marry him?
He... what?
Well, why do you act like that, Perico? Your father's lonely, too.
Well, that is his fault. He got what he wanted.
Are you so sure? Have you ever talked about it, you two?
No, and I never will. Besides, he has nothing to do with this. What matters is you and me.
Oh, there never was a you and me, Perico, or me and your father. I'm sorry, it was a long, hot summer. It amused me to play with both of you, but now that game is over.
I will kill myself.
Oh, I hope not. Why don't you talk to your father about it first? You might learn something.
All right, I will. At least he is a man. A man you can trust. But I say one thing before I leave, Senorita Monroe. Yesterday, I say I love you. With all my heart. I take back those words. Today, with all my heart and forever, I hate you.
And I don't blame you, Perico. Right at this moment, I'm not very fond of myself. And that's the end of the story, Mark. It was the last time I saw Perico until he walked across the dance floor tonight. And that's why I fled to my dressing room with you, because I was so afraid to face him.
But the story isn't finished. What happened? Did your gamble work?
I don't even know. I haven't heard from either one of them since I left Cadiz. Oh, Lord, look at the time. I've got to get made up and ready. Would you get that for me, Mark?
Oh, sure. Yeah? Sure, sure, she'll be ready. What? Yeah, send him in.
What is it? Is it my cue?
No, no, relax. You got a few minutes.
Okay.
Excuse me. Oh, thanks, Arturo. I'll handle him.
What is it?
Like about the biggest bunch of carnations I ever saw. With a note.
A note? Well, I haven't time right now. What does the note say?
I think you better read the note yourself.
Oh, dear, where's my fan? And my gloves, too.
No, you got time. They'll wait for you. Read the note.
Okay, give it to me. Let me see. Oh, dear Liz, the carnations are from my father, who has told me the whole story about how you left Monte Alegre When I read that you were to sing at La Ronda in Madrid, I had to come to hear you. I wanted to thank you for giving me back my life and my father's. Would it be too much to hope that you might join all of us at our table afterwards? Con todo mi corazón, Perico. All of us.
There's a postscript there.
Oh, yeah. For many reasons. Mainly that I want you to meet my fiancé. Oh, Mark, I'm so glad. It worked for them.
That's your intro, baby. Better get going.
All right. Except...
what?
Oh, Mark, I'm so tired of this. The pressure and always being on. I want to be me just the way I was that summer.
Okay, Liz. We can arrange that, too. If you want to.
Oh, if I want to.
It's always been an open contract between us.
All right, then. I'm closing it right now. And we can announce our engagement when we join the Escobars.
Oh, I don't want to crowd you.
How can you get any closer? I just woke up to what I should have known all along. Yo te adoro, dear Mark. Con todo mi corazón.
The reunion with Perico and Don Emilio and the new young bride-to-be after the show was a warm and wonderful one. And Don Emilio, older and frailer now, was exalted beyond belief by the coming marriage of his son and, in a sense, his daughter. I'll be back shortly.
There's more to poverty than not having money.
It means you're hungry. It seems like everything you do is defeated before you ever start, you know. We can't sit and make a decision. Someone else makes our decisions for us.
And if money is not the whole problem, then it's not the whole solution either. That takes time, ideas, and most important, it takes people. Working together to determine their own needs, to solve their own problems.
That's right. People helping people and helping themselves at the same time.
People helping people. People helping themselves. Not the whole answer, but it's a good start.
It certainly proves a point that if you stick together, you get places.
The Campaign for Human Development. The United States Catholic Conference.
There are some cynics who might phrase marriage as el salto de diablo, the devil's leap. I cannot answer for Perico and his bride because I lost track of them. But as for Liz and Mark, the leap was upwards. Never down. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Robert Dryden, Ian Martin, and Christopher Tabori. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Kidnappings are usually planned, Mr. Mellon, and very often there's some inside connivance. Now, could one of your servants have overheard your daughter and Jeffrey Pollard make plans for the evening?
But you may have traitors among your workers. I have none in mine.
How would the kidnappers know they'd be parked at that hamburger joint?
How would they know? Well, I ask you, Inspector, where else do young people end the evening in this town?
Who would want to harm your daughter?
You have a one-track mind and it leads nowhere. My daughter is the sweetest, most generous child. So gentle, so sensitive. She's not like so many of today's depraved young people. She's not a part of this drug-crazed, whatever they call it, culture.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for continued sunny and warm tomorrow, but cloudy and much cooler on Thursday. Highs in the upper 70s tomorrow, cooling to the upper 60s on Thursday, with lows in the low 50s. In downtown Seattle, currently 63 degrees.
For bright and beautiful music, this is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News next. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford is spending the night in Skokie, Illinois, after a speech to a Republican fundraising dinner in Chicago Tuesday night. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president Wednesday morning plans to confer with a group of mayors and then continue his latest trip, flying to Omaha, Nebraska. This is Mr. Ford's first venture outside Washington since that attempt on his life in San Francisco a week ago Monday. Tuesday night, police in Chicago arrested a woman who had a loaded gun in her purse near the hotel where the president later spoke. The woman was not detained by the Secret Service. She said she carried the gun for protection and had no intention of trying to harm the president. President Ford says his administration is working on a plan for an agreement with Russia to buy American grain for several years without causing food price hikes to the American consumer. The president says his measure would put agricultural trade on a predictable basis. More news in a moment.
I want that sinus medicine.
A headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff to any other sinus tablet. You'll find no sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. When you take Sinoff tablets, you get a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer to help sinus pain while you drain. And for the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief, there's Sinoff Sinus Spray. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Sinoff. Take when needed, only as directed. Always insist on Sinoff.
The sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff tablets.
Exactly. Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
A Senate subcommittee Tuesday opened hearings into the Secret Service. This is an aftermath of the two recent attempts on the life of President Ford. Witnesses included several men who have run for president, among them Senator Hubert Humphrey, who said it's impossible to assure that the president won't become the victim of an assassin.
The point that has to be kept in mind is there just isn't any way that you can give complete and total protection to a president or a vice president or even a presidential candidate. There just isn't any way. These are risks that people in public life must take, and we must understand that. Secondly, I think we have to keep in mind that there is a great concern in this country about people's civil rights and civil liberties.
Another witness, Senator Barry Goldwater, said that if a man or woman really wants to kill the president, no one can stop it. The big moment has come and gone in Manila, and Muhammad Ali is still the world heavyweight boxing champion. The scheduled 15-round fight was stopped after the end of the 14th round, with Joe Frazier in no condition to continue. Details from Ed Ingalls of Station WCBS New York, reporting from Manila.
It was a devastating barrage of punches in the 14th round that left Joe Frazier groggy. The pursuing Frazier catching lefts and rights by Ali to the head that left Frazier's mouth bleeding, his left eye puffed, his right eye also with a big lump. Frazier hanging on, going the distance, but finally his manager, trainer, Eddie Futch, at the end of the 14th round, signaling that was it. Muhammad Ali had taken his second victory in three fights from Joe Frazier. It had been a grueling fight. Frazier coming to the body, relentlessly pounding away in the middle rounds. He had shaken Ali. Ali had also ripped Frazier in the first round with a right hand that almost put Frazier to the canvas. In the 13th round, Ali got his second win and took charge of the fight at that point, dominated the last two rounds to retain his championship. This is Ed Ingalls for CBS News in Manila.
Spain has gone on the offensive in the midst of an international uproar over the executions of five urban guerrillas by the Franco government. Spanish Premier Carlos Arias Navarro rejected the outside criticism as boundless hypocrisy, and he said Spain has gone the limit in giving mercy to guerrillas. Hurricane Gladys is churning the waters of the Atlantic with 100-mile-an-hour winds, but forecasters say it is still too early to tell if she will become a threat to the U.S. mainland. The storm is about 650 miles east of Miami. Now this.
Hi, I'm Old Goblin Mike Roy here.
And I'm Denny Bracken here. Hey, don't scare me, Mike. Tomorrow's October 1, and you know what that is.
Huh? Well, it's time to get ready for Halloween, which is 30 days away.
Are you going to start us on a party mood?
We're going to get ready. It takes a month to make this jack-o'-lantern. It is so obnoxious and so indecent.
Wait a minute, what?
It scares adults.
What's he doing on a cook show? A thing like that?
Just having a little fun.
Well, we're going to do some goblin tomorrow on Mike's Cook Thing here on CBS.
Pat Baldy, ex-Peace Corps volunteer and nurse.
I gave Brazil a piece of my mind. Now I can identify and work with diseases most nurses have never come in contact with.
Matt Ryson, ex-Peace Corps volunteer and farmer.
I gave Mindanao a piece of my mind. Now I can grow practically anything, anywhere.
There are people all over this world who need your mind and your skill. Join the Peace Corps. Give the world a piece of your mind. Call Action, 800-424-8580.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council. Congressman Robert Giamo, a Democrat of Connecticut, says that the budget for the Central Intelligence Agency is something less than $2 billion. Giamo says the CIA spending figure is buried somewhere in an Air Force appropriations package. Giamo is proposing an amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill calling for public disclosure of the CIA budget. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI with the time is 6 minutes past 11.